You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
A good, solid report. I think that this is the kind of report we're looking for. I think we'll continue to see job growth of 225,000 to 250,000 per month through the rest of this year, and that the job market is looking pretty solid.
But unemployment went up from 5.4% in April to 5.5% in May. This is USA Headline News.
Now that Rite Aid is part of the Plenty program, Wellness Plus is more rewarding than ever. Why? Because now Wellness Plus with Plenty gives you a second way to save, with Plenty Points, which works similar to Plus Up Rewards, only better. Because Plenty Points can be earned in one place and used for savings at Rite Aid, Macy's, AT&T, Exxon and Mobil, and other participating partners. So if you like Plus Ups, you're going to love Plenty Points. Wellness Plus with Plenty. Get your card at Rite Aid today. With us, it's personal.
If you like painting and saving, ask Sherwin-Williams and save 40% on paints and stains during our four-day super sale, June 5th through the 8th. With 40% off our exceptional paints and stains and 30% off painting supplies, you can give your whole home a color makeover. But hurry, these savings are so super, they won't be around for long. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Fears persist that eastern Ukraine is about to fall back into a full-scale war, and the G7 leaders are concerned. White House Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes says the group is determined not to waver on sanctions against Russia.
We need to maintain the pressure, show that there cannot be cracks in the transatlantic unity, and show that the costs are just going to continue to grow to Russia.
On Tuesday, a fierce battle broke out in eastern Ukraine and was the worst fighting seen since a ceasefire began in March. Several homes were damaged in Colorado last night after tornadoes touched down in Larimer County. Emergency Management Coordinator Lori Hodges.
It looked like the outer walls were ripped off of the homes, or the roofs were ripped off. That's really what I saw, is really the outer shell was removed and you could see the inside of the homes.
Flooding is a concern for today. The overturned cruise ship in China has been turned upright, allowing crews to search for nearly 340 people still missing. So far, 103 bodies have been found and there are 14 survivors. This is USA Headline News.
For the first time, America's behavior expert Scott Farrell is offering you the Marriage Matrix. The system used for years to help save marriages is now available to you. The Marriage Matrix can save you expense, personal embarrassment, and maybe even save your marriage.
I'm America's behavior expert Scott Farrell. If you really want a shot at saving your marriage, get the Marriage Matrix today, and together, let's do this.
Call now, 844-HELP-US-0. That's 844-HELP-US-0. Or visit ismymarriageworthit.com.
The Triple Crown favorite has finished 3 days of light workouts leading up to tomorrow's Belmont Stakes. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
On the eve of potential horse racing history, the word happy keeps popping up around American Pharoah. Owner Ahmed Zayat says the colt, a mile and a half away from the first Triple Crown in 37 years, gives him a lot of confidence.
He's coming in very healthy, carrying his weight. He doesn't show any sign of wear and tear. And he's a happy horse.
American Pharoah will go off as an odds-on favorite, trailed by Frosted and Materiality, horses he already beat in last month's Kentucky Derby. Warren Levinson, Belmont Park, New York.
A prosecutor in Germany says the co-pilot with a history of depression who crashed the Germanwings airliner into the French Alps had reached out to dozens of doctors ahead of the disaster. The revelation suggests Andreas Lubitz was seeking advice about an undisclosed ailment. A criminal investigation is being conducted into the March 24th crash that killed all 150 people on board. A friend of the Boston Marathon bomber, Zhohar Tsarnaev, has been sentenced to 3.5 years in prison for removing Tsarnaev's backpack from his dorm room with another friend after the 2013 attack. Asmat Tazayakov tearfully apologized today to the people of Boston and to his family for his actions. He also denounced Tsarnaev's decision to bomb the marathon, saying it made him sick. Another friend of Tsarnaev is also being sentenced today. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, the sports guys, and we're going to have a great program today. We have guest John Macy, but before that, I just wanted to give everybody a little update on the weather. Slight chance of showers today, but it's been more than slight. I know that it's been raining off and on again tonight. Tomorrow, there's about a 30% chance of showers, but should be in the morning, so hopefully it'll clear up. And then Bill Wolfson might actually be able to get his boat in the water on Sunday because it's supposed to be sunny and 76 degrees. So everybody will be able to go out and enjoy outdoors before the next week because it's supposed to rain again on Monday. So the sports guys so far here today, Pat Smits, Bill Wolfson, and our guest, John Macy. And John, we're really welcoming, although I don't know and I haven't seen John Manfreda. Maybe he is afraid to talk to you about baseball. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm really excited to talk about it, though.
Great.
Well, John,
tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm 15 years old. I'm a sophomore at North Hunterdon High School. I'm a huge Yankee fan. I played baseball up at North this year. I played JV, played catcher, played a little second base. I always wanted to be dreamed to be a broadcaster, so this is hopefully the first step to a lot of these.
Great, great. I know, doesn't Central High have don't they have a radio station at Central?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. But you don't at North?
No.
Okay, well, we love sports, and I want you to talk baseball because that's not my sport. In fact, I think maybe Ken isn't coming in today, and John would know the reason why. Do you like hockey at all?
A little bit. I'm a Rangers fan, but I don't watch a whole lot of hockey.
Okay. Well, so is Ken a Rangers fan, and we had a little bet going last week, and my team is still in it, but unfortunately, Ranger fans are... Didn't make it in that seventh game, did you?
Are you Chicago Blackhawks?
I am a Chicago Blackhawks fan, although I'm a big football fan. But let's talk. Bill, you know, you're a Yankees fan, right?
Well, that's absolutely true. In fact, I was even born in the Bronx at 690 and spent the first 4 years of my life at 691 Girard Avenue. And I will tell you that my bedroom window as a four-year-old, I could actually look and see the outfield wall at Yankee Stadium across from the railroad tracks for the Jerome Avenue line. So not only was I born in the Bronx, but my dad was born in the Bronx. So if you cut me, I bleed pinstripes.
So you're not a Phillies fan?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to root for the Phillies. They're not a bad National League baseball team, and if you end up going to a university in Philly like I did, Temple University, what happens is you don't really lose your loyalty or your fondness for the Yankees, but when I went to college, those were the Horace Clark years, which we refer to as the Babylonian captivity of the Yankees sometimes because they would finish dead last or next to last, but these days the Yankees seem to be doing pretty well. They're in first place, even though they are playing in a weak division. But I've got a question for you as a budding ball player and Yankee fan. Alex Rodriguez spent a year off because of his drug suspension or his performance-enhancing drug suspension or whatever you want to call it, and he and Mark Teixeira seem to be leading the Yankees in their battle to stay into first place. They're hitting well, and they seem to be fielding well, although Rodriguez is usually the DH. Do you think the year off helped Alex Rodriguez, or do you think he just found some other new non-detectable drug to take?
Well, I think he, unlike most people think, I think he actually worked a lot in the offseason with his bat, especially, because he knew he wouldn't play playing the field, so I think he focused a lot on his bat, and I think he tried to, I think he wants to surprise some people, and I think that's what he's done. I think he surprised a lot of people in Major League Baseball, and he worked hard enough to be a good hitter, and he's always been a hard worker, but despite performance-enhancing drugs. He's been a hard worker, and he's always wanted to get better.
Well, I noticed that his bat speed seems to be pretty much the same as it was 3-4 years ago. He seems to be attacking the ball better. He's also waiting out pitches, which I think is interesting. What do you think?
I think that leads just to work in the offseason. I mean, I know he controversially worked with Barry Bonds, even though Barry Bonds is linked to performance-enhancing drugs. But I think Bonds is trying to clean up his image, and he's trying to bring ball players in and teach him. And I think his bat speed and his pitch recognition is all based on working and working and working. And not, because think about it, he only has to DH. That's one half of the game.
Like that's
a guy,
right.
A guy like Mark Teixeira has to work on both parts of his game. He has to work on his fielding and his hitting. Alex just has to work on his hitting, and I think he did that a lot, and he's surprising people, but I'm not very surprised. I thought he would come out and hit a lot of home runs.
I think that the year off actually helped him because, on one hand, he had hip surgery. He had some problems with his shoulder. He also had whatever other problems we have that he had that we don't really know about, and he turned 40. And when you turn 40, trust me, it will happen to you if you're lucky. Suddenly things begin to slow down.
I think that, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I think that's why the people who are skeptical, John, I think many of them are saying, wait a minute, he is playing better now than he played before. And that's why a lot of people are skeptical as to whether or not he isn't using some kind of performance-enhancing drugs. But, let's hope he's not, because, one of the things that people who, like me, who are older, is we remember, people like the Hank Aarons and the guys who had statistics based on, not having any of the stuff.
Right.
And they did it right. And I remember when I was a kid, I guess I was younger than you are. But in 1957, when the Milwaukee Braves had just that powerhouse team, I mean, they really did. And I don't know if you follow any of the older players, but,
oh, yeah.
The Eddie Matthews and the Hank Aarons. And, but as a little kid, that was baseball to me.
That's right. The Milwaukee Braves beat the Yankees in the 57 World
That's
Series.
That's right.
And unfortunately, I think that was the last World Series they won for a while. The Yankees.
Well, then they went to Atlanta and forget
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But so why did you, since it's interesting to me, John, you live here in New Jersey. You could be a Mets fan. You could be a Yankees fan. You could be a Phillies fan. So what was it that, why are you a Yankees fan?
Well, I mean, I really don't know the answer. I always loved, there's pictures of me since from very small ages, just playing baseball. My dad's a huge Mets fan, so maybe it's because I don't want to be like him or something. Just go against him. But I know he's a big he's obviously a big Mets fan.
That's why I asked the question.
But there's a lot of family, like a family around me who are huge Yankee fans. It's like my cousins. I have cousins who are huge Yankees fans, and they got me into being Yankees fans, and there's no real reason to change. So
No, you know what? Whatever you start out with, you should stay with. And that's the thing that I never understand with people who are football fans, and they go with the team who whatever. The latest good team. And I grew up as a Packers fan. But the interesting thing, I grew up in the Midwest, and out there I think you'd find very few Yankees fans. In fact, everybody, it was Yankees were the team to hate. They really were.
Oh, so sure. It was like hating General Motors or IBM or the IRS. They were like
The Yankees,
the man.
They always had so much money. They could hire anybody.
In football, it's like hating a cowboy. You either love the Cowboys or you hate the Cowboys.
That's right. But the Yankees, on the other hand, have become one of the wealthiest sports teams. They're one of the three most valuable franchises in the world. Strangely enough, can you guess who the most valuable one is?
Some soccer. No? Most valuable.
How about you?
I would probably be a football franchise. I would assume the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Strangely enough, the most valuable franchise, at least if you want to believe Forbes magazine, and I think they're a credible source, is Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, okay.
Followed by the Yankees, followed by the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Football, they really, the way that football handles it, it's allowed small markets like Green Bay to be competitive. And so that it's very different than, because they share. There's a lot of sharing of revenue in the
Yeah, but let's talking about the economics.
Yeah,
of the
let's
sports,
talk about
which
the sports.
Which is fun.
Who's your favorite player? Fun.
Who do you like most on the Yankees?
With the Yankees right now, with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Even though he's hurt, I would have to go with Jacoby Ellsbury. He's my favorite Yankee right now.
Why is that?
I like the way he plays the game. I think he plays the game hard, and he was definitely their best player until he got hurt. I mean, he was hitting over 300. He was playing up to the caliber of how much money he's making. He was finally stealing bases. And the fact that Girardi finally let him off at first in the order, they finally let him, like last year, hit third. And I thought saw it as the time for him to hit home runs, but that's not how he's here to do. He's here to score runs, get on base, and steal bases.
Well, you make an interesting point. The Yankees have never been known for playing the small ball, and I think the small ball is the most exciting part of the game, the stolen bases, the plays at the plate, things like that. The running plays, to me, are the things that are the best. And we see a lot of teams that run themselves out of innings. But I'm interested. You're playing high school ball, and obviously a lot of that is teaching, because on that level you're really learning the finer points of the game after being in Little League and on a JV team like you said you were. What do they teach you about base running and what to think about when you get on first?
Well, at North Hunter, they teach a very small ball-centric program, bunting, running, hit and run, produce runs, not wait for, all right, two guys get on base, let's have one guy hit a three-run homer or strike out, we'll either score or we won't. Try to produce runs, make that nine-hitter bunt with one out, get the guy over to third.
Exactly. See, the Yankees used to depend on what we called the 4 o'clock lightning, was that three-run home run in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
To win a lot of games, and the Yankees were always powerhouse hitters, but the Yankees in recent years have dabbled with returning to a little bit of the small ball game, which is important considering that they have such a light hitting middle infield. So you said you played second and you caught, is that right?
Catcher's my main position, and then a little bit of second base.
Okay, because when I played in high school, I played second, and I also played left field at Huntington Central. I wasn't particularly good. In fact, I was often compared with Marv Thornberry, who, if anyone who was over 50 and a Mets fan knows that
Marvelous
Marv Thornberry was once accused of playing with handcuffs. And people didn't know if he played the outfield and a ball was hit to him. He didn't know whether it would hit him in the head and kill him, hit him in the face and break his teeth, or he'd swallow it.
Well, I'm interested in, now what conference do you play in with North Hunterdon?
We're in the same conference as Hunterdon Central. It's the Skylands Conference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We beat our varsity team, beat them in the Hunterdon Warren Sussex tournament to go to the championship game.
Terrific. And where's the championship game?
We had it already. We won the tournament.
That's great.
I wasn't, a few weeks ago, I'm not on the varsity team, but they played very well and we were able to. It's the Tri-County Tournament, so Hunterdon County, Warren County, and Sussex County.
Well, as
so
a
you're
JV
really,
catcher, I wanted to ask him a question because this was
go
interesting.
Go ahead, no, that's fine.
As a JV catcher, it's your job to prevent guys from moving over to first. So what are you taught as a catcher
and about keeping that runner on.
Keeping the runner on at first and not stealing? Basically, it's believe it or not, it's more on the pitcher. My job is just to catch the ball, keep the ball that bounces in front of me. It's their job to pick them off or use this quicker move to home plate so it doesn't give so it gives me more time to throw them out. So believe it or not, it's more the pitcher. It's not me.
It's more the pitcher than you. Do you have signals that you communicate back and forth with the pitcher when you're worried about the guy on first?
Yes.
And what sort of things are you saying to a pitcher? Are you saying glance over there, keep him close, or throw over there?
It depends. Some pitchers like me to call it for them. Some pitchers like to do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers are very particular in what they like to do. So as a catcher, your job is to let them do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to give them anything else. Don't want to complicate their job as complicated as it already is. So I like to say, if you want me to call it, I will call throw over if I think it's necessary. Or if you don't want me to say anything and just call pitches and you want to call the throw over, that's on you.
Do you get to call for the pitch out?
I can call for a pitch out, yes.
And
now wait, what's a pitch out?
Go ahead. Why don't you explain it to her?
It's if you see a guy is going to steal, you intentionally call for a pitch that's way high and outside and you know it's coming so you can have a clear lane to throw and you get more time coming out of your crouch.
Great.
I did know that, but I thought that was important for people to know.
Okay.
So you must have a very good team if, as a sophomore, you're playing JV, and I suppose you're hoping that some of these great players are graduating this year, so you get to move up.
Yeah, we have many seniors graduating this year. I think it was 8 seniors graduating, so hopefully next year I'll be up with the varsity.
Well, that's great. Do you think you'll be catching or filling in at second? Where do you think you're going to fit in?
Right now, I think I have a chance to catch. I have to work on my arm strength a little bit, my footwork a little bit, but hopefully I can make it up there. It's the number one goal of mine is to be the varsity catcher for 2016 at North Hunterdon.
That's
exciting, a wonderful goal. Well, what do you think you're going to have to improve on over the summer and winter after the high school baseball season is over? What do you think you're going to need to work on the most?
My biggest thing is my arm strength.
So will you be lifting weights or doing some kind of repetitive exercises?
I'll be lifting weights in the summer, fall, and winter. And it comes with a long toss, which is obviously throwing a long, very long distance. It gets your muscles loosened up, and the longer you go, it's like you ever swung with a donut, like a heavy donut.
Many times.
Yeah. So you swing at that, and then that bat feels lighter.
Right.
So you throw longer. That throw to second seems shorter.
So it feels shorter.
Yeah.
Right. Do they tell you to wear heavier shoes or put weights around your ankles so that when you run, you feel like you're faster and your feet are lighter?
Not really. If there's some exercise we do where we put something around our chest, and it's like a weight, and when you run with that weight behind you, you don't put it on your feet. You put it on, you tie it to yourself almost.
So it's different than people who are asked to do skating exercises.
Guys, we're going to have to take a little break just to play some spots from our sponsors, and we'll be back with John Macy and our guest today, and we're learning not only is he a Yankee fan, but we're pleased to see that he's playing with North Hunterdon, and we'll be back shortly.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Huntington County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@huntington-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Huntington, buy local. Visit www.huntertonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Okay, we're back with our Bill Wolfson, Pat Smits, and our guest today, John Macy. And John, when I grew up, there weren't many Latin Americans playing baseball. And today, some of the best players, and so many of the players are Latin American. Any idea why?
Well, Latin Americans have always been playing baseball. It's been there for a while. And especially with the warm weather and some of the teams that are stationed up north, like you have the Yankees and other teams up north who can't play. They can't play in the snow when it's in January, so there's a lot of leagues in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico that are very good leagues with major league quality talent that just hasn't been discovered yet. So they go and so the major leaguers come down and play with them, and then they talk about all these guys from Dominican Republic, and all of a sudden they're up with the major leagues, and then they're telling people about other guys. And the game has always been all over the place since it started.
Well, actually, interestingly, and you can do this in your history class when you're a little bored and they want to know something about history. Actually, what happened in the Dominican Republic is the American soldiers were in the Dominican Republic and they started playing baseball. And that's one of the reasons why, if you look at Dominican Republic, a lot more baseball. Not all the Latin American countries. I mean, it wasn't popular in, for example, Guatemala or Mexico. I mean, soccer was always the big thing. But wherever the American soldiers spent a lot of time, and Japan is another example, although we don't have as many players here from Japan, that's because baseball was such an American sport, and they kind of went over. And you're right, though. Now the major leagues go down, and they really start the kids playing baseball very seriously, very young. So as far as Latin American players, who are some of your favorites?
Well, Miguel Cabrera he's from Venezuela, which is like the one country in South America that plays a lot of baseball. Get a lot of time. I love Miguel Cabrera. I think he's the best hitter in the major leagues right now. I like Yasiel Puig, although he's very controversial. I think he's a really good young talent. And the other guy I like is Jose Abreu, the first baseman for the White Sox, who was a rookie of the year in the AL with, I think, 36 homers. He hit over 300. I think he's going to be a very good power hitter in the major leagues for a long time. And for it, one more is, he's not playing anymore, but Mariano Rivera, obviously. I'm a huge Yankees fan, and he was such a big part of the Yankees dynasties in the 90s, and he pitched all the way till 2 years ago. And I'm sorry, I have one more. Jorge Posada was always my favorite growing up, because that's who I liked, and that's how I started catching, was from watching him.
Really? So that was an influence on your decision to...
Oh, yeah, big time. He was my favorite player.
I think Posada was from Puerto Rico, is that
he
right?
He was from Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
but that's because you liked him and that he played that position. That is really what interested
yep.
you playing as a catcher.
3 years old, that's when I really started to watch baseball. And I guess I saw him hit a home run or something. That was maybe probably the first home run I ever saw. So I saw him and I was like, I guess that's the guy I'm going to like now. And I figured out what position he played, and I asked for a set of catcher's gear for Christmas that year, and I got it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, it's exciting because, you know, the associations I think we form when we're very young are the associations that stay with us for the rest of our lives, particularly when it comes to a sport or an athlete. Growing up, my two favorite players were Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra, and also Bobby Richardson. When I played second base, I modeled myself after Richardson because I would watch how he would position himself with his footwork and how he held his glove and just pretty much how he carried himself. And I'm wondering, when you would watch Posada play, is there anything from Jose Posada's game that you've tried to incorporate into your own?
A little bit. I always liked the way he threw, the way he throws. He was very quick out of his crouch, and I've studied that a little bit, and I try to copy his form for the throwing. Besides that, he wasn't a great defensive catcher, but I always liked the way he threw the ball. I always thought that was a good thing.
Well, when he first came up, he was considered to be a good defensive catcher, but his hitting took a while to catch up to him, and it took him a while to really understand major league pitching. When you bat, do you copy his batting style, or do you just focus on his defense?
More for his defense, I watch. Hitting, if I had to say who I like my style, I would say Jacoby Ellsbury right now.
Ellsbury's a great hitter.
I know. My style is very similar to his. Use all three fields.
I noticed one thing about Ellsbury and Posada was they were very conscious of the strike zone, and they were very good at waiting for their pitch. And both of those guys drew lots of walks. When you're being coached on the JV level, what do they tell you about waiting for your pitch?
They say they like base runners. The key is to get on base.
Whether you're walking or...
If you get on base.
Or getting a hit. Yeah. And we have an unexplained John Manfreda sighting, Pat.
Yes.
Where did he come from? He's even wearing his Red Sox hat.
Well, okay, that's
it's time to stump the reincarnation of Ted Williams. Why is this week's June 2nd a great day in Yankee history?
A great day in Yankee. Why is this great a day?
Why is it a unique day in Yankee history?
Bill, you got me on that one.
Well, let's see if we can turn to my fellow Yankee fan here, John Macy. Why is June 2nd a great day in Yankee history?
Well, on June 2nd, 1922, Lou Gehrig played first base for the first time as a member of the New York Yankees, and for 2,130 games, no one else did.
Yeah, a typical Yankee organization, they tread all over this guy, Wally Pipp, and he goes down in history as a has-been just because he happened to get a cold one day.
All right, now...
It's how the Yankees treat everybody.
Now let's see if we can ask another question. I bet John knows the answer to this. Who was the pitcher, and for what team did he pitch for, where Roger Maris hit home 61 in Yankee Stadium?
That would be Tracy Stallard.
And what team did he pitch for?
He pitched for the Red Sox.
There you go.
162nd game
of
the season.
Well, what pitcher gave up Mickey Mantle's last home run in Fenway Park?
Last home run in Fenway.
I'm going to say Bill Mombouquette.
Jim Lomborg.
Joe, wasn't was Jim Lomborg?
Yep. Later
went to the Phillies.
And it was. And how was it Favre-like? How was it Favre-like, Pat? We're going to bring Pat Smith. We got the Packers into the conversation here. How was Mickey Mantle's final home run Favre-like.
I don't want to even say.
Well, as we all know,
did he throw him a nice changeup right down the middle.
Exactly right. With this Macy kid, I know we may even make an exception for this kid, even though he's got the worst shirt in the world on number two, which wasn't that Avis or something? Was anyway. Yeah, the rumor has it that Favre laid down for Strahan to get that 22.5 sacks and set the record.
I watched that. I was at that
and
game.
I don't think I've seen that 100 times. I don't think so. But the mantle pitch, exactly right, John. They claimed he lobbed it in on a meaningless game, and he hit the ball into an empty right field bleachers at Fenway. Nobody was there. Nobody cared. But it had still become part of the lore.
So he grooved one for Mantle.
Grooved, exactly. That is the lore.
Well, Mickey Mantle was also famous for saying, "If I knew I was going to live this long, I would have taken better care of myself."
Yeah, for sure, for sure. For those of us who are estate planners in the world, we like the Mantles of the world. they don't plan well.
Well, he certainly. You know, had an interesting career with the Yankees. The thing that always amazed me about Mantle was, if you ever watched the movie 61?
Yes.
Which is a great baseball movie. And I think it was made by Billy Crystal.
Yep.
And he showed just how hurt and how banged up Mantle was when he played, and he still managed to...
If the guy had been healthy, he probably would have beaten A-Rod for some records, you know? A-Rod wouldn't have caught him yet.
Billy Crystal always... he's always been a Yankee fan. I've heard many stories. His dad had, like, season tickets, and he loved Mickey Mantle from... So I think he's done so many things with Mickey Mantle, so I think if anyone was going to do so, that he would be the perfect person.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Billy Crystal even did a short HBO film about the making of 61, which is very interesting. And he claimed that making this movie was his dream. Now, Barry Pepper plays Mickey Mantle, but I can't think of the guy who played Roger Maris in that movie.
I somehow missed 61.
You probably didn't
I was
want
busy
to watch
that
it.
Night.
It was probably one of those channels.
I was busy that. But I was going to ask our guest. But I was going to ask our guest, John Macy. What else do you like to do besides follow the evil ones?
I love playing baseball.
And what position do you play?
I play catcher.
We've been talking about
We've
that.
We've been all over that, John. We don't want to do
thing,
a rerun.
The one thing, John, I wanted to ask about.
You'll have to get the rerun or order the
I'll have to listen to the rerun of the program for the first half.
John, one of the things I'd like to ask, because it's amazing to me how popular baseball is here in Hunterdon County. I thought baseball was kind of dying out, but you would not know it about Hunterdon. Why is that?
First of all, if you look at the two big high schools in Hunterdon County, they both were at one point this year ranked in the state. They both each had 20 wins, I would believe. Hunterdon Central, I know they had a very good year. They went very far in the sectional tournament. And I know North didn't play well in the state tournament, but they won the county tournament. They won the Hunterdon Warren Sussex tournament. And this is a very good baseball area, I believe. And I think it will be.
John, do you think that the presence of the Cusp Baseball Academy adds to that?
Yes. Diamond Nation in Flemington puts Hunterdon County on the proverbial map.
Is there any truth to the rumor that Mike Trout actually played at Diamond Nation for a while?
He played in a tournament there. He did not play for the Diamond Nation team.
Okay.
He played in a tournament for a different team there.
Okay.
Well, Mike Trout is from South Jersey, isn't he? Like Millville or Glassboro?
Yeah, not too far south.
He played for a travel team called the Tri-State Arsenal, who I've actually played against. Not Mike Trout's team, but I've played against their other travel teams, and it's a very good program. It's probably one of the top five.
So where do you see the future of baseball in terms of the high school parlaying into the college level? Is that now becoming like football where guys will try to get college scholarships and things like that, very much like they try to get to football scholarships?
Yes. There was a time, if you remember, when Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter.
Who?
Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter.
No, I meant the who. I know who A-Rod is. Who's the other guy?
Derek Jeter.
Well, go ahead.
When they were getting... getting drafted, they were all coming out of high school. And if you remember when LeBron James in basketball and Chris Bosh, they were both out of high school. There was like the time period where guy was coming out of high school. Now it's more common to, like, the NBA outlawed coming out of high school to play for right in the NBA.
Did that survive the constitutional challenge? I'm not sure. I think the Players Association agreed to it.
Yeah.
And I think that was what, because really it can't pass the constitutional challenge. Yeah. But
that's true.
But anyway.
So now baseball is transitioning into, all right, at least play 1 or 2 years of college before you come up, because it's good to get to have that next level before the big. It's going from, like, there's like three levels. It's going from 1 to 3. You got to go 1, 2, 3.
But isn't it more than gathering the experience? Isn't it just acquiring the maturity level as
yeah.
well? I mean, don't you think you're a lot more mature now than you were 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, give an example. Guys like Derek Jeter, I know you don't love him. But, I mean, that maturity level and that confidence and that self-assuredness just doesn't come along. That's a one in a million. You don't get someone who can handle themselves with a pressure situation at 19 years old every one thing. That's one in a million. So, yeah, I think giving guys at least 2 years up at a college level just to get mature and just figure out the game more.
And, you know, to Pat's point earlier about baseball, quote-unquote, dying out, yeah, I think baseball in the 90s really hit its nadir. There were a lot of problems with that. One of the things that I understood that affected that a great deal was the fact that for very, very good athletes who were, you know, multiple sport players, they would sit down with parents and agents and, you know, advisors, and they'd be said, look, you know, Notre Dame is offering you a scholarship and you can play linebacker there. And, yeah, you're probably good enough. You have a reasonable shot to get drafted, you know, and then you have somewhat of a shot, you know, maybe to make the NFL. In baseball, roughly 1 out of every 25,000 candidates has a shot at the major leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so much more difficult. And, you know, if you think about it, the skill level, you know, hitting a round bat, round ball, or throwing a round ball, and I mean, just the skill level you need for that sport.
But also, John, remember, and we talked about it earlier, you have all these kids from other countries, like the Dominican Republic,
exactly,
like
right.
Puerto Rico, that they don't play American football.
Right.
So that the so
you force all their good athletes into baseball, and they're in a part of the world where they can play 12 months a year.
If you think about baseball and football, if you take baseball on one side and pick basketball and football on the other, there's no minor leagues in those sports. Baseball, you have to get through a rookie ball, A ball, single A, double A, and then triple A, and then finally.
Well, really, any other sports, you just have the college.
They have the college, and then you're in the pros.
And that's it.
Or you're out.
Yeah, or you're out. Baseball, you got to go through so much. I mean, look at Mike Trout. He got drafted in 2011, I believe, or 2010.
Sounds right.
It took him at least 2 years to get to the major leagues. And look
yeah,
how
and he's
he
the
is.
Best.
And he's the best.
Right.
So, I mean, Mike Trout took the express route to the major leagues, and that's still 2 years.
Yeah.
So, I think kids who are multi-sport athletes are thinking, well, can I make $5 million in 4 years, or can I make $5 million in 6 months? So, I think they're taking the football or basketball route instead of the baseball route.
I think that's true, Bill.
That's an interesting comment. The problem with baseball also is that until we had the Curt Flood problem.
Flood versus Kuhn.
Kuhn, right. Bowie Kuhn, who later had to file a bankruptcy when his Wall Street law firm went belly up.
Right.
But when Bowie Kuhn got an adverse ruling in the Flood case, it broke the reserve clause, and it allowed players to have agents who would get teams to bid for their services. And you know, some people said that some people complain now that players in all sports move around so much that you're not really rooting for the player anymore. You're rooting for the laundry they're wearing.
Laundry.
I would ask you, John, when I grew up. And if I took a couple minutes, I could probably still name every single member on the 1957 Braves team. But they stayed. I mean, you
grew up. They were there 10 years.
You grew up, and, you know, I was a Braves fan when they came to when we were Chicago Cubs fans, but then we were Braves fans when the Boston Braves came. But they were there, and it was the same thing in football. I mean, these guys stayed around. Now, you know, you have a hard time remembering sometimes, you know, who they're playing for.
Well, you know, an owner comes to mind that might have been the catalyst for a lot of that skullduggery.
Yeah, the Yankees owner.
Maybe.
Are you talking about
one
of my favorite owners, George Steinbrenner?
Yeah, the guy who, as you know from our Trust and Estates sessions on this station, had the good fortune to die in 2010 when there was no estate tax. That was my hope, that he'd die in that Joe Robbie situation.
I can get to the point of the player staying. Well, as Bill said earlier, there's the reserve clause. The reserve clause, basically, for those of you who don't know, it's stated that you are bound to this team for life.
Right.
The owner owns you. And what happened is, like, guys like Mickey Mantle played for the Yankees for 18 years. Ted Williams played for 20 years with the Red Sox. So, I mean,
but wait a minute, wasn't there some famous baseball player that got traded from the Red Sox, if I recall?
Well, we're not talking about trades, Pat.
Yeah, but trades.
You're
but they didn't trade
Babe Ruth.
We're talking about Babe Ruth getting sold you sold him for.
And do you know why Babe Ruth was traded from the Red Sox to the Yankees?
I'm sure
in 1919?
John does.
It was for a Broadway show.
No, Babe Ruth.
Why Babe Ruth was traded? It was because
No Babe.
It was actually Nanette.
No Nanette, and the owner of the Red Sox wanted to put his girlfriend into the play. And his wife wouldn't give him the money to produce the play.
And the moral of the story is, Bill?
That it's almost as bad as not letting a goat into Wrigley Field. Remember, there's always room in the play for the producer's girlfriend. Never put your own money in the show, and always let a goat into Wrigley Field.
And that, my friends, is a summer
life
philosophy.
I think we better take a few.
Now or what?
I think we better take a few spots from our sponsors on that one.
Yeah.
Jewish Family Service of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties is in need of car donations to help fund their programs and services. For over 30 years, JFS, a nonprofit, non-sectarian social service agency, has been providing counseling and other supports to those living and working in the Tri-County area. Skilled JFS staff and volunteers help families and individuals, young or old, rich or poor, meet the emotional and practical challenges faced by those struggling with life's difficulties. Whether coping with relationship issues, feelings of depression or anxiety, illness, loss, work-related problems, or other crises, JFS is here to help provide emotional support and counseling and other tangible assistance to those in need. Funds received from car donations go directly to cover the cost of providing counseling to children and families, social work home visits to isolated seniors, and career counseling to those recently unemployed. It's easy to donate. Just call 877-JFS-4CAR or 877-537-4227 and speak with a vehicle donation representative. For more information about JFS, please visit their website at www.jewishfamilysvc.org.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, Class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the Class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved. Be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
We're back on. It's the Sports Guys. Our guest today is John Macy, and of course we have Bill Wolfson and John Manfreda and Pat Smits.
Good afternoon, folks. We've been having a great time talking baseball here, and I understand that nobody has heard the curse of the billy goat at Wrigley Field.
Bill, please enlighten us.
And let's talk about that. Now, you know,
whenever
I
have a couple more minutes, so make
it
quick.
That's okay. I'll speed it up. I'll give you the
Pat,
Reader's Digest.
Always blunt. Go ahead, Bill.
All right. Well, what do you expect from a family law attorney, especially one certified by the Supreme Court of the state of New Jersey? Well, the short story is that there's a guy that owned a tavern called the Billy Goat Tavern in Chicago. And somebody gave him two tickets to see the then last place Cubs. Now, the Cubs were so bad that year, which is before World War One, that if there was a league below the National League, they would have been in last place in that league as well. But he couldn't get anyone to go to the game.
Unfortunately, for those of us who are Cub fans, that's not unusual.
That's right. But remember something. He was given two tickets, and he couldn't get anyone to go. So he took his mascot, a billy goat, to Wrigley Field. They were going to go sit in the outfield and enjoy the glorious sunshine and watch the Cubs lose to probably the St. Louis Cardinals or the Boston Braves or whoever was playing back in the pre-World War One era. But the management had a policy, which I think is still today discriminatory. Billy goats are not allowed in Wrigley Field. Now, there's got to be some billy goat out there who is going to be an advocate for billy goats everywhere and insist that baseball open up stadiums to the goat population of America. But that's not happening. So the guy and his billy goat get very frustrated, and rather than telling the billy goat to eat every program, every ticket, and all of the paper money gate receipts, they put a curse on the Cubs that they would never win the World Series until they let another billy goat in. And you know, all of us who are animal rights advocates, or as my wife says, cat lovers, I've always been a fan of goats. I think goats are interesting creatures. I don't see why they should
only
be denied.
You, Bill.
I don't see why goats should be denied access to Major League Baseball. Although there are some members of the SPCA who say that letting a billy goat watch the Cubs is like animal abuse.
And here John thought that this was a great sports program and we have to talk about billy goats.
Well, never let it be said that our fans don't run interesting bits of trivia when tuning into the show.
Well, he knew when Lou Gehrig replaced Wally Pipp.
This is true. That was impressive. That was very impressive. So what is you? I have a couple of questions for you since you're obviously a very well-informed Yankees fan. Do you think Masahiro Tanaka will finish the season?
Yes, I do.
On the disabled list or
no? I think he will finish the year pitching because I think he was trying to do too much to hold himself back. And actually, believe it or not, when you're pitching, holding yourself back just it can hurt you even more because you can try to not you try to use more of your arm and less of your legs. So if he uses his entire body the way he pitched against the Mariners, I don't know if you saw it. He was throwing his last pitch he threw of the game in the seventh inning was 96 miles an hour.
I think he picked up a couple miles an hour.
He did. No, he definitely did. He hasn't thrown a fastball over 95 since that outing where he threw many of them. So I think he's going to finish the season strong. And if he pitches well, he doesn't have to pitch that well, but if he pitches well, the Yankees will win that division.
Well, let me ask you another question. Given the fact that the Yankees are playing D.D. Gregorio at short, do you think they're going to stick with him because he's such a light hitter and wait for his learning curve, or do you think he's on his way back to Wilkes-Barre Scranton?
I don't think he's on his way to AAA, but I still think that they might go shop another option. I know there's a shortstop for the Cubs, Starling Castro. They might be looking to shop him because they have two prospects, Addison Russell and Javier Baez, who are two very good shortstop prospects in their farm system. So he might be on the market if the Yankees are willing to give up something for him.
That's a major problem. They really don't have a lot of prospects right now.
And the
now.
Only prospects they have are offensive prospects. And the Cubs don't need offense, if you know. They have Chris Bryant, Jorge Soler, Addison Russell, all guys who are young hitters. The Cubs need pitching.
John, you don't play fantasy baseball, do you?
I play a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. No wonder he knows all this stuff.
I know.
Well, let me ask you my other question, since I'm also a Philadelphia sports fan. You think the Yankees are going to make a serious bid for Cole Hamill, and do you think that the Phillies will try to pick their pocket?
It depends how well the back end of the road. It depends how, because if Tanaka pitches well, Pineda keeps pitching well. And it depends how Sabathia pitches. Nathan Eovaldi's very streaky. Sometimes he can come out and he can throw 7 innings of 2-run baseball, or he can come out and throw 3 innings of 6-run baseball. So it all depends. As a Yankee fan, I would not mind going to get Cole Hamels. I think he's an established major league pitcher, but I think he's going to go to a team out west. I think the Dodgers are going to be the team that's going for him the most.
Well, remember, the Dodgers are loaded with cash because of the TV deal they made.
Yes, they are.
And they want to keep a lot of eyeballs watching. And Cole Hamill, if he stays in the National League, is certainly going to help somebody.
That's what I think. I think he's going to end up with the – assuming the Phillies stay out of the race, which I'm assuming they will, if he's still pitching well, I'm assuming he will be a – Los Angeles Dodger by August.
Okay. Let's take a second and have you predict the winners of each of the divisions in the National League and their wild card teams.
So I think it's going to be the Nationals in the East, the Cardinals in the Central. And I think even though they're not playing well against good teams, I think the Dodgers will pull out the West.
And who's the wild card teams?
I think it will be the Giants against the
The New York Metropolitans, or as they call them today, the Dead Arms.
I don't think the Mets will do it. I don't think they have enough bats to do it because Wright's not playing. This Kadire has not been the offensive option they've been looking for.